spirit lead in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And a father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that life. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you, help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. This show is about the topical, the conversational, but most importantly, the purposeful. We hope to develop and distribute hope to the broken. We pray that this show blesses you today. All right, we're back at it again. This is Matt and Mom Live. This is Matthew Mayer you're hearing. If you are tuning in today, you might want to go back and check out the episode previous to this. We are going into Psalm 23, also John 10, and we are breaking down what it means for God to call us his sheep, number one, and if we are accepting that, what it means to denote or declare that Jesus is the good shepherd. We talked about the characteristics behind both of those, shepherd and sheep, in that first episode. We kind of even went into some of the facts that you might not know about a sheep. And we'll kind of run through them as we get back into the text. And we began last week by saying, basically, do you know this psalm, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, by memory? Or have you experienced Psalm 23 in a different way, where you know the shepherd of Psalm 23 intimately? And trust me, there's a difference, because I can speak on both sides of this spectrum, knowing it by memory a majority of my life, and then finally knowing the shepherd of Psalm 23 intimately. We went into verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's basically saying, if you say he's your shepherd, you've reduced yourself to a sheep. And what does that mean? And if the shepherd is all you have, the shepherd is all you need. That's why David can write, I shall not want, or I shall not lack. I have everything that I will possibly need in this life by following the good shepherd. We talked about verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And I say, if he makes it, can you take it? And what does that mean? That means whatever God uses to make you to lie down, sometimes it's by a setback we talked about. It could be solitude. It could be a sickness. It could be a breakup. It could be a heartache. It could be a disappointment. God is trying to get you to lie down, make you, and the shepherd actually uses gentle but firm pressure to get his sheep to lie down, because they don't even know there's good pasture right beneath their feet. So they need the shepherd to get them to lie down. And then we take us into the second part of verse 2. He leads me beside the still waters. And I say, if he's leading, will you follow? And where will that take you? And I talk about still waters being waters of rest. And if God is leading you to a place where he's been calling you back to that fellowship, back to that church, get back into that church, get back into that Bible study, or get back to me in the morning time, now you're sleeping in, he's leading you to the still waters. And when you open up the word of God, you will find rest. And then those waters can get into you and they become living waters. And we're going to get into verse 3 today, because this is all connected to verse 2. You found the still waters. It could be morning devotions. It could be night devotions. And guess what happens? He restores your soul. And we talk about this word soul, but we really don't ever understand what that means. And the word soul is interesting. It comes to us from the Greek psyche. And that's why we have psychology. We are actually fielding a call right now, folks. We're going to take it. This will be the first time we take a call on Matt and Mom Live. Hello? Hello, are you there? They must have hung up. But that would have been cool. We would have fielded a call. They probably were curious about, what does the soul have to do with sheep? And I'll tell you, well, your soul is your inward animating essence. It's your emotional man or woman. It's your intellect and it's your mind. So at times when our soul gets so caught up in the world around us, it gets scattered. We get distracted. We get downcast. We get disturbed. And we need to go back to the Good Shepherd, who restores that emotional man or woman. He brings us back. That's what that word actually means, restores. To bring back to order. And think about all the things you get caught up in that have you so spread out. And by not going back to the still waters where he leads you, for him to restore your soul, guess what? He can't use you.
Which here, can I yeah, throw a sheep fact in there?
Absolutely.
That kind of lines up with that. Do you know that if sheep have a tendency to roll over involuntarily, and guess what?
I can't get back up.
That's right. They can't. And that kind of, as you're talking about what that looks like, I feel like that's the Christian walk sometimes. We find ourselves in a situation that just encompasses us and we're not thinking about it and we have a difficult time getting ourselves back up to where we should be in the Lord.
Right. And that's the thing. He's waiting. He's wanting to restore us back to order where your soul is meant to be. And, you know, I'm not talking about all these hurts and pains and things in our past that just disappear because you can quote, he stores my soul. But no, the truth is, he is the one, he's the shepherd of our soul. Peter writes that in the second chapter of his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2, 25. He says he's the shepherd of our soul. And when you think about what that means, and I write in a, you know, a book that we'll be publishing from 55 Lamb Publishing along with Mom's book, Slammed, that if he's the shepherd of our soul, then he knows the terrain of our brain. And just as a shepherd goes before the sheep and he checks out the pastures, and the reason why he would do that is what we're getting into that second part of this verse, is because in the pasture there's so much danger that the sheep are unaware of. And one of the major dangers for sheep in the pasture are these snakes called adders. And they come up from the ground through holes. Mm-hmm. And they bite or they strike mm-hmm. the sheep's nose. They go at the sheep's nose. And we're talking about a snake bite. Sheep can be taken out by something so much less. So you're talking about something that is serious. And you know what the shepherd does when he goes, when we're getting ahead in the text, but he uses this oil. Remember I talked about the oil, the horn of oil on his belt. He uses the oil to lube up the hole. But he also puts the oil on the sheep's nose or on their head. That way, when the snake tries to come up through the hole, guess what happens? It's lubed up and it slides back down. It can't get out. But if it does get out by chance, the perfume like oil on the sheep deters mm-hmm. the snake from biting. And that's just one use of the oil. So he knows the terrain of our brain. He is the only one, the shepherd of our soul, that can restore our soul. And guess what happens after restoration? He can finally use you, and I use the word ministration because it rhymes. I say restoration precedes ministration. The word ministration simply is ministry. It's service. And before God can use you, he will restore you. And we see pictures of this all throughout scriptures. Recently, Pastor Matt Stokes of Coastal Christian, he taught on the woman at the well. And Jesus had to take her to a certain point before he converted her called conviction. And he had to convict her of what she was hiding. And he doesn't do it in a condemning a way or a judgmental way. He leads her into this honesty or this repentance that she says to him. She basically feels restored after that because, without going into too much detail, I actually really love this text. I'm trying to think of exactly what it said. He says to her, what does he say about her husband directly? Do you remember the text?
Go get your husband and bring
him. Yeah, go get your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband.
And he says...
But she wasn't really lying.
Right.
She just wasn't telling the full truth. I don't have a husband. He says, you're absolutely correct. What you just said was true. You don't have a husband. You've had five. And the one that you're seeing now is not your husband. And we say, wow, why would he bring that up? It's because true conviction leads to true conversion.
Right.
And it was right there where he started to, with much delicacy, handle the scalpel called conviction, touching this area in her soul that she was so ashamed of. Before he could use her, he had to restore her. And guess what she did? She was sent back to her land, Samaria, and she was used as an evangelist.
Yep.
And that's the meaning behind he restores my soul, because then he can lead me, if you're following along in your text, in the paths, plural, of righteousness. Restoration precedes ministration, and these paths of righteousness are always for his name's sake. He's going to put you in certain situations for his name's sake, for his glory. And I experienced this in prison, Mom. I remember I thought I was being used so effectively, so efficiently, where I was planted. And we were. We were opening up the Word of God. I mean, another inmate, Jason Williams, former NBA All-Star, who was incarcerated with me. And you know, I came over so many hurdles and barriers, and I believe God was using that time to restore me to my natural emotional man, where I needed to be used. But there was a different path of righteousness for his namesake that he wanted to take me down. And where he brought me, actually, was upstairs in the prison through an unjust and abrupt move by the system. And without going into too much about that story, it's what happens behind a wall is when your success is heard about, it highlights other people's deficiencies. People that are there to do their job, yet they're not. And when you're doing your time in a successful way, it makes their job become highlighted in a bad way. And they don't like that. And we're talking about supervisors and officers that they came in to do nothing. And they wanted to separate me and Jason Williams because we had too much influence. So I end up upstairs. If I didn't settle for this being one of the paths of righteousness where the shepherd was leading me for his glory, I would have clammed up. I would have shut down. But I realized that I was up there for a reason. I began to open up the Word of God, began a Bible study up there. And I watched as this pasture that God had already gone before me to establish, to check the terrain, was being open and utilized for his glory, for his namesake.
Right. And I want to say at the time that you were moved, that was horrific for our family. And there's a verse that comes to mind. Again, we keep going back to when things happen, you have to surrender and trust and know that God is in control. And there's a particular verse that says, what man has meant for evil, God will use for good. And that move for you just seems so apparently evil, and it just seemed so unjust. And yet at the same time, you could have, as you just said, you could have just went into a role of complacency, bitterness. You know, everything was fine where I was at. Why is God moving me now? But instead, you surrendered under the care of the shepherd and continued on what
right.
you were doing.
And that's what we're trying to get people to hear. Wherever God is leading you, you know, the paths of righteousness for his glory, they might not be lined by yellow bricks with the Emerald City in view.
Yeah, usually they're not.
So you have to be very discerning of where God is leading you and what constitutes a path of righteousness. And you cannot forget where it ends, verse 3, with for his name's sake, for his glory. And there were so many people's lives that were transformed and changed because we got together up on that unit. And, you know, not to go into too much detail about that, because we find ourselves in verse 4. And once again, this is not only the most quoted verse, but this verse finds itself in songs. Rapper Coolio sings, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And where did he pull that from? Psalm 23. And what does it mean? Well, David writes, understanding as a shepherd, as a young boy, at times he had to lead his sheep to different pastures, through different ravines, and sometimes dark valleys. So when he writes with such imagery, he writes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, comma, I will fear no evil. Because it's in those dark valleys where you're easily frightened, and fear can set in. And the reason why you're not to fear is because it says the good shepherd's with you. Jesus is with you wherever he's leading you. And then, you know, this verse came even more alive to me because I realized after studying it word by word, is it only in the valley, you know, with quotes, valley of the shadow of death, distressful time, tragedy, dark time, that's where we say the valley of shadow of death. Is it only in that time that we're not to fear evil? And I asked that rhetorically, and the answer is actually no. We're told never to fear evil. Why? Is it only in that distressful time, the valley of the shadow of death, where the Lord is with us? No. He's with us all the time. He's with us on the mountain. He's with us in the valley. He's with us in the good. He's with us in the bad. So I said, could it be that the valley of the shadow of death, in a more significant way, isn't a distressful circumstance? Could it in fact be life's circumstance? And we would say, why? Well, think about it. You're in the valley called Earth, under the shadow of death. And the reason why it's a shadow is because when Christ went to the cross, he took the reality of death head on. He faced death. He took out its sting. He says to death, where is your victory? And in that, he leaves us, not with the reality of death, if you are a believer, but with just its shadow. And I ask with humor, are you afraid of your shadow? So I say all that to say, it's in this valley of the shadow of death called Earth, where the shadow can't touch you when you are hidden in Christ, because he already took death head on and he won.
That's another verse too in the scriptures. Our life is hidden in Christ.
That's right. That's found in Colossians. And then we get to your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is probably the most personal and intimate truth in this psalm for me and what it means. And we already talked about what he has on his belt being the rod, a small instrument used to fend off predators. And the staff was this 7 to 8 foot pole with a crook at the end, and how those two things could be used for comfort. Well, both of them could be used for protection, and both of them actually could be used for correction. And when I taught a few weeks ago at Coastal Christian, I said, can you identify God's correction in your life as his actual way of protection in your life? And why? It's because we as sheep, we go astray and we find ourselves in worse situations. What that means is I can get lost from the pack or my family where they were, you know, raising me to be Christian. But I find myself now in the wilderness. And sometimes when you get caught up in the wilderness, you find yourself in briar patches like sheep did often. Or you find yourself with wolves, which will set you up and eat you up. Or you could find yourself eating the wrong plant, poisonous, putting the wrong things inside of you. And there's so many ways the sheep go astray. And guess what the actual good shepherd does? He doesn't say, yeah, you're going to learn your lesson, and when you come back, then I'll deal with you. No, he actually, it says, he leaves his sheep, the 99, to go get the one. And if the one keeps going astray, he has to discipline it. And God's discipline, folks, is not punitive. It's corrective in nature. He doesn't punish us and then not teach us a lesson. No, he disciplines us and teaches us a lesson through it. And one of the ways the rod would be used against the sheep out of love was because the sheep would continually get itself in trouble, and that the shepherd knew ultimately if the sheep keeps going this way, it's going to lead to his death. He's going to fall off the cliff. He's going to find himself in the wolf's mouth. So the shepherd would actually break the legs. You believe this? Break the legs of the sheep. But he wouldn't leave it at that. He would actually, in the healing process, cast the sheep's leg. Then he would hoist the sheep over his shoulders. And in that entire time, while the sheep was healing, the shepherd and the sheep were actually bonding. So finally, when the sheep is healed and he can be placed back on his four legs again, guess what happens? The sheep no longer wants to go astray. Mm-hmm. And it's not out of fear. It's because of the intimacy between the shepherd and the sheep during that time of healing. And if you're somewhere today and you feel like there has been a break, you've heard that pop, and you feel like God is dealing with you, but he's not explaining why, I'm here to tell you that he's dealing with you because he loves you. Proverbs tells us that, do not detest the chastening of the Lord. For whom he loves, he corrects. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it calls, he needs us to come to this point of brokenness so we can experience restoration and intimacy. Mm-hmm. And then he could put us down, and we won't go away from his side ever again. And you know what happens with that sheep? That actual sheep that went through all that process becomes the bell sheep. And the bell sheep is the sheep that the shepherd denotes as the leader sheep. And he puts a bell around its neck. He wears this medallion, this bell. And everywhere that leader sheep goes, the other sheep follow. And the only way that sheep is useful is because he is obedient to the shepherd. And that is unbelievable to me.
And that is the story of your life and all of our lives in different magnitudes.
Yeah, and you know, so that I'm looking at a little Bible I have on my phone, and it leaves us with verse 5 and verse 6. And we're not going to go into them today. We're kind of going to recap next episode where we've been, but also finish up with verse 5 and 6. You know, there's so much meat in Psalm 23. And you may be sitting here saying, I can memorize that, I know that, I can recite that. But I'm saying, I present a challenge. You may be able to quote it verbally, but does your life quote it visually? Do people see you as a sheep, not because you are able, but because you are surrendered? You're not independent, but because you are dependent upon the shepherd. Is it memory? Or is it intimacy? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We'd like to close all shows reminding you that the clearest testimony you can give is not the one you share for people to hear. It's in fact the one you live for people to see. As we tune in next week, you tune in with us. We'll complete this psalm and what it means personally for your life. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to share these episodes with a friend. God bless.
Which way are you going? Yahweh, you don't know him. I answer his calling. Y'all people ain't knowing. He breathed in my lungs and spared me from Satan. And now that I love, even my loved ones they hate. Waiting patiently, pacing for me to fall on my face. But I'm falling in faith. Pardon me for his grace. There's a battle out there, spiritually in this realm. There's a God up in heaven. There's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And the father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that light. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you. Help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth. Running the street, y'all think y'all doing something different. Nah, don't you know they've been watching that block that you're on since before my time?
Wow.
So what makes you think that you're doing something different? You want to do something different? Put your faith in Christ. I've been there.